Let us pray. Holy One, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things. God comes near to us in flesh and bones through the body of a young, poor Jewish woman. God comes to stay and eat with us, still to be close, anything but perfect. By the time Matthew tells us how Joseph has that he loves over what this holy scandal could mean, by the time Matthew tells us what we have heard this morning, he has given us a genealogy that is so complicated and impossible that it can only be a holy and sacred line. Jesus's lineage, Matthew shares with us, links him to David and Abraham. Jesus is linked into the Israelites who have endured and survived exile, who have mustered gritty hope to return from exile and continue to hope and to keep watch for God's promises of restoration, wholeness, and peace. Jesus' ancestry is filled with hope and grit. The lineage that Jesus comes from includes unlikely women, an enemy of Israel, a prostitute, and a young, poor, unwed woman. God is not only with, but comes through unexpected people in unexpected circumstances. So Matthew tells us this morning that Mary and Joseph were set to be married, but somehow the young woman ended up pregnant. And there are a lot of people, really smart theologians, who make great arguments as to whether or not Mary was actually a virgin. And I have my own opinions too, but that's a sermon for another day. Because the beauty of this story is found between the lines. Joseph, Matthew says, was a righteous man, faithful to the law, and decided to divorce her quietly. Imagine this moment between Mary and Joseph. She has felt the flutter in her womb, probably has thrown up a few times, missed a few periods, and now has to tell him that she is pregnant. And so she musters up the courage to face him, risking everything. And so Mary tells Joseph, and Joseph goes back to the rule book to decide what to do. So Joseph sits with this for a while and decides that the most rational and loving thing to do is to follow the law and divorce her, but to do so quietly so as to not put her to shame. And I wonder sometimes if he told Mary his decision or if the angel of the Lord intercepted his righteous plan before he got back to her. Either way, Joseph is content enough to fall asleep, a deep enough sleep to where he is dreaming. And any of us who have known this kind of scandalous stress know that sleep is a gift of grace. And so Joseph dreams, and the angel sets him free from the rule book. Through the dream, Joseph realizes that God is at work in ways he could have never expected. God is coming, ready or not, flesh and blood, to bring hope to humanity through the body of his Mary. Through the dream, Joseph realizes that it is better to be kind than to be right. It is better to be kind than to be right. And so Joseph wakes from this dream. He puts his feet on the floor, grabs some breakfast, and sits down with Mary to let her know that he's going to stay after all. So Matthew then quickly tells us that Joseph doesn't have sex with Mary until she gives birth. Mary gives birth to a son. They name him Jesus. Merry Christmas. What the heck just happened? And what was Mary thinking this whole time she was waiting to hear back from Joseph? Here Mary is with the flutter in her womb and morning sickness, waiting for her fiancé to receive word that kindness is better than the rule book, that choosing people over the plan is the point, and that God comes to be with us in ways we could never anticipate. What is she doing while she waits for all of this to transpire? We don't know. We just know in reading between the lines that this imperfect scandal leaves her waiting. Waiting on Joseph, waiting on her baby to be born, waiting on a place to stay with no friends or family to take them in, waiting on God to deliver hope in her world of political unrest. Mary waits as Joseph dreams. What a holy pair. And I don't know what she did while she waited, but I believe that each of us know this agony of waiting. Because there are some forms of waiting that file down the calluses of our soul. The kind of waiting that leaves you tender, humming songs that soothe. The kind of waiting that causes you to tear up at a stranger's smile or hold close a word that falls just right on your heart. There is a kind of waiting, a holy longing that is not satisfied by bread or more holiday parties alone. I think it is amazing that God, with his tiny fingers, was curled up in the body of Mary, and yet Mary had to wait too. She, pregnant with a love so powerful, it was about to transform everything. In this Advent, we are called towards Mary's waiting and Joseph's dreaming to pause. This season invites us to hold space for the pregnant pause and to pay attention to the dreams that are placed on our hearts. Advent is about holding space for holy longing, for looking deeply at our souls and asking, who and what are we waiting for? Who and what are you waiting for? And as we wait with Mary. As God becomes flesh and bones again and again and again. This ancient story is amazing because it reminds us to join Mary as she breathes and pushes for hope incarnate. We are her midwives, y'all. And as we push for a new world, we push with her. At every breath of kindness, every push of justice, every ache of longing for a transformed and peaceful world, God is born over and over and over again. This ancient story is amazing because it reminds us to join Joseph as he searches for courageous compassion. As he puts down his rule book, so do we. As he learns to embrace his new son, we learn to call him family too. So as the Holy Family waits, we wait with them, watching the scandal of grace break through this world. And waiting is hard and holy work. And I don't know what or who you are waiting for this season, but I do know that God is with you and that God is working through you to bring a renewed hope into this world. For this waiting that is hard and holy work, I will close with a blessing that keeps blessing me. And so I invite you to close your eyes. Do it. Close your eyes. Stare at the floor. Take a deep breath. Receive this blessing from Jan Richardson for waiting. Who wait for the night to end, bless them. who wait for the night to begin. Bless them. Who wait in the hospital room, who wait in the cell, who wait in prayer. Bless them. Who wait for news, who wait for the phone call, who wait for a word, who wait for a job, a house, a child. Bless them. Who wait for one who will come home, who wait for the one who will not come home. Bless them. Who wait with fear, who wait with joy, who wait with peace, who wait with rage, who wait for the end, who wait for the beginning, who wait alone, who wait together. Bless them. Who wait without knowing what they wait for or why. Bless them. Who wait when they should not wait, who wait when they should be in motion, who wait when they need to rise, who wait when they need to set out. Bless them. Who wait for the end of waiting, who wait for the fullness of time, who wait empty and open and ready, who wait for you. Bless you. Amen.